Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. I wanted to say one other thing about my week last week. The idea that I had this crazy week, and that crazy week ended up on Friday with this massive headache all day long, which is unusual and an obvious sign of stress for me. And what was very clear to me, what I said to my wife Friday night when I crashed in my chair and she's sitting across from me and I was just feeling wiped out, and what I said to her was not only how bad I felt, my head, but I said to her, and you know what? I haven't prayed all week long. And other than, as I shared with you, I would have these moments of breathing throughout the day. It's clear to me that the two were connected. And that's not my normal experience. My normal experience would be to really be committed to the practice of prayer in the morning and the evening, plus the breathing throughout the day and whatever else might come along. And all of that got wiped out in that very, very hard week for me. It doesn't mean that I was bad. It doesn't even mean that I was bad that I didn't go to Mass on the Holy Day of Obligation. I should have. I feel bad about not having done it. I missed a rich and beautiful opportunity, is how I choose to carry that. And the effect of all that on me was it crushed me. I was weak and hurting and wiped out that night, Friday night. Mother Teresa used to tell her nuns that you must pray an hour every day. Absolutely, you must pray an hour every day. And then she would say, but you know, some of you will say, but Mother, I have so much to do today, and I have to do this, and then we have to do this, and we have to do this, and there's just so, too much to do today. And then on those days, she would say, you must pray 2 hours a day. And that's the deep wisdom of a woman who knows how to pray, right? That's the truth that is so hard for us to accept, that you must pray every day, and on the especially busy, full, and overwhelming and hard days, you must pray twice as much. And it's only in that we actually truthfully draw on our faith. Otherwise, we're not actually living the way we say we believe. If we believe that God is the strength and the power and going to help us do all things, then we ought to be calling on that all the more when it gets hard. And the truth is, we do just the opposite. When it gets hard, I don't have time for God. When it's all nice and warm and fuzzy, I can think about God all day and how beautiful it is. And it's the exact opposite, right? When I need him is when I should be calling all the more. So anyway, that's just the truth of, I share that with you just because we're all the kind of the same in that, and it works for everybody. What did you all talk about? What did you share? What's your reaction to these questions? Anybody want to reveal something that you discussed? Yes, thank you, Ashley. Yeah, taking a minute to quiet, to breathe, be still. Yeah, Ashley's talking about a spiritual director who says over and over, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, which is just, again, it's kind of a, I'll call that a breathing prayer, come Holy Spirit. What else? What else was shared? What else touched you or did you talk about? Yes. Conversations in the car. He's talking about one of his favorite times is to have a conversation in the car with Christ. And thank you for that. The truth is we spend a lot of time in the car, and very often the radio is on. And so if you need to find 10 minutes in a day where you might be able to pray, turn off the radio. They're not talking about anything that you need to know. And the song is going to come back again an hour later, and especially turn off the talk radio, right? Pray for a little bit, yes. All right, of course. Good for you. And sometimes the radio is perfect, and sometimes they're talking about prayer, sometimes they're praying, sometimes it's beautiful music, and it will draw you to prayer. I know, but But if it's just, lousy talk radio, turn it off. If it's just, jamming Z90, you can find 5 minutes to pray. Okay, yes. Yeah, you can have a rosary CD, she's saying. Yeah, it can draw you to prayer. It can draw you to prayer. Yes, very much so. I'm going to use all things like that to say, use those things as the doorway to prayer, not as the prayer. That I'm just going to push that just a little bit. When somebody else is praying on the radio or on the CD or whatever, it might be beautiful, and it might actually feel like something really rich and beautiful for you. It's not exactly your prayer. It might be, and it might be very close to your prayer, but let it be the doorway to your prayer. Let it be the thing that draws you to prayer. Sometimes the truth is we use it as a substitute for my prayer. I listened to some beautiful prayerful music. Does that mean I prayed? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. If the choir is really beautiful at Mass tonight, does that mean that you prayed those songs? Or does that mean that you listened to them pray those songs beautifully? There's a difference. You've experienced the difference. Sometimes you've sung the songs beautifully and it was your prayer and they accompanied you. Sometimes you listened to them and you were at their concert. There's a difference. So let it be the doorway for your prayer. What else? Yes, thank you. Beautiful. Thank you for that. They were talking about at their table, they both grew up Protestant, and so they spent a lot of time with Scripture, as we should. Good for you. What beautiful training. And she was talking about pray for maybe, or read the Scripture maybe 5 minutes, pray about it for 5 minutes or so, come back to it, read it again. Is that right? Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. Thank you. What did you say about Protestant and silence? I didn't hear that. Your quiet time. And that would be the quiet time with the Scripture and the prayer? Yeah. Yeah, praying quietly with Scripture and then reflect on it, pray about it, come back and read it again. This is the wisdom of the Protestants. The Protestants give that an easy name like quiet time. Catholics give that a big highfalutin name like Lectio Divina. That just makes us feel like, oh yeah, we got that, Lectio Divina. It's much easier to say, little quiet time with Scripture. Good. Thank you. What else? What else? Yes. Yeah. So he's a long distance runner, and when he's running, he often prays the rosary during the run, and sometimes running and sees the sunrise. Sunrise? Sunset? Either one. And then relates that to the light, the sun. All that is prayer, right? The whole world around us is an opportunity for prayer. What else? Anything else? Yeah, go ahead, Vincent. Daily Mass, a free theology lesson, he said. It is a beautiful way to start the day. The habit of it is a beautiful habit of it. This little book that I mentioned, Letters from the Desert by Carlo Coretto, I'll just mention a little bit about who's Carlo Coretto. He's an Italian and was famous in the Catholic community in Italy. He was the director of Catholic Action, which was, especially at that time, was a very, very vibrant activist movement throughout the world, really. And so I would describe Carlo Coretto as a young adult absolutely on fire, who was doing everything, leading everything, was the driving force throughout Italy for much of what was happening in the real energy of the Catholic Church in Italy in the last century. And he was he was about 40, 42, something like that, and in the course of prayer felt this call, this voice, this drawing, and said, I have to go to the desert. That's what he was hearing. You have to go to the desert. And then he announced to his people, I'm leaving. and I'm going to the desert. They were crushed. They thought he had lost his mind. Literally, they thought there's something wrong with him. Because, I mean, he was this the guy who was constantly going. And he did go to the desert. He went to the Sahara. And he joined a group of priests who live in the Sahara. And they don't have a monastery or anything. They live out in the desert. And they're known as the Desert Fathers. It's an order of priests and brothers founded by Charles de Foucauld, who is a rich spiritual master. And he spent this time in the desert to discover how to pray. It's the reason he went to the desert. And this little book, Letters from the Desert, is about that. And he learned how to pray in the desert. No distraction. But then there's the infinite distraction of creation in the desert. And so it was a big experience for him. Beautiful, beautiful little book. I really encourage you to read it. Letters from the Desert. That's it. Thank you. All right.